Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm doing well.
Good.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much. But I'm a bit confused about these regulations because suddenly what? We have a zero crime policy in South Africa. Where have I been most of my life?
It certainly seems like a response to what the EFF was doing, which is arrange a crowd to march on the SAPRA offices to go and protest the fact that they are taking their time approving the Sinovac and the Russian Sputnik V vaccine. And you know, experts looked at this. I remember Professor Shivya Mahdi was on ENCA, and you know, they asked him, so is this a super spreader? And he's like, yes, absolutely. It's not even a question. And so, it looks like government's decided that's quite enough, and put this regulation in to make it a criminal offense to incite someone to break lockdown rules like that. So, the idea is not to go after the whole crowd, but then to rather go after the instigator, which, you know, in this case would be the leadership of the EFF.
It's quite interesting because that's a very brave move for government. We generally, as a policy, like to prosecute the disempowered, not the empowered.
I hope that's not the case, but I'm not sure I agree with you.
Good. Tell me why.
But the issue here, there's a flip side to this issue, right? Which is still it's a fairly authoritarian thing to do, to criminalize dissent, right? You know, the fact is that the government has made a couple of really bad calls. You know, the EFF was wrong. Make no mistake.
Absolutely. No, it was bizarre. You know, that march.
Yeah.
That march for vaccines during the middle of the third wave was just an absurdity. It was like, contact the Darwin Awards.
It was obscene. And the fact is that, The folks who were at that march looked to their leaders for guidance, right? I mean, the fact is that, you know, they wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for the EFF, leadership saying it'll be fine. You know, come to this march so that we're going to save lives was the pitch, right? The march's name was March to Save Lives. And so, you could understand why, the country's leadership would look at that and go, you know what? Enough is enough now. And say, you know, stroke of a pen, this is now criminal. We've had quite enough. Thank you. And I think it's also a sign of, have a bad faith reading of that. You can be like, no, this is our government trying to crack down on dissent and authoritarian tendencies and blah, blah, blah. And you can also look at it and I've sort of, you know, you watch Cyril Ramaphosa over the past 18 months and you go, the guy's just like gone from very patient to just like, okay, no. I've had quite enough. I've had quite enough being patient, and I'm not going to suffer idiots now. It's over.
It's interesting because it is. I don't disagree with it in principle. In fact, I think it's quite right. You can't have lockdown regulations being promulgated by a government and then somebody or a political party actively encouraging people to disobey them. We'll have complete anarchy. So I do think it's, important.
Where
my point comes from is that over the years, the EFF in particular, and if that's who we're talking about, has managed to get away with the most incredible, behavior. They would incite people to violence, the comments that are quite clearly racist in many respects. And we haven't seen any action. We've seen the Penny Sparrows and we've seen the Adam Kester, whatever his name was. And I think that's right. I think the Pennies and the Adams need to be prosecuted for racism and for the way they behaved. But the flip side of that is, and that's where my point was, is we've allowed government, because not government, but political parties, because I think of the strength and because of the fear of repercussions, we have allowed them to get away with all sorts of things. There was some terribly, terribly dangerous rhetoric, for example, around clicks and around all of these events. So that is really where that point comes from. Do you still disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with any of those points. The getting the disempowered, I'd like to return to. But before that, one last point I'd like to make, even though I wanted to, you know, raise the point of criminalizing dissent, the flip side of that is, right, is in any the democracy that I can think of, it is a crime to induce someone else to commit a crime.
Absolutely.
Right? And so if we are going to agree that it is going to be a criminal offense to break some of these lockdown regulations, not all of them, but some of them, it's criminal to, I mean, mask wearing, right? It's now a criminal offense to not wear a mask in public. And you can kind of understand how government got to that point. And so then by extension, then yeah, it should be criminal to induce someone to commit that crime. And so, there's a lot of, I want to say precedent in the how we handle laws in democracies already to justify that regulation coming in. On the point of only prosecuting the disempowered. Now your other points stand completely. I completely agree with that. But what we have seen recently, for example, is the Constitutional Court. And you mentioned it at the top of the segment, the Constitutional Court sending Jacob Zuma to jail for 15 months. So it's not just the disempowered and, Oscar Pistorius, for example, right? He was a powerful man. And so, you know, there's obviously a lot of people in power who get away with a lot. But there's
as they would in any country, by the way.
There's plenty of people in power who don't. Yes, there's plenty of people in power who don't. You know, eventually the chickens come home to roost.
So are you saying, and I hope you are, that we should put our cynicism aside and start taking things maybe a little bit more at face value?
I think we should take our victories where we can. I think it's fair to be skeptical of government. Still, you know, the level of corruption, but what's interesting, right? And as much as it was exasperating to hear this as an excuse, but, Premier David Makura coming on TV and basically saying that, you know, the rollout of things have been slow. There's bureaucratic red tape in a democracy. But also there are checks and balances to guard against corruption, because what we've seen in the past 18 months is that people will even steal money for PPE, right? And so I'm going, that's such a weak excuse, for not doing things quickly. Or a poor excuse, not a weak excuse, but certainly a poor and a frustrating one, that we can't accelerate the rollout of the stuff we need to protect people and to get back to normal in this country, because there's just a bunch of corruption in government. But it was also absolutely refreshing to hear it coming out of the mouth of an ANC politician to say, we have a problem with corruption in this country. Yeah. Finally it feels like the problem is being acknowledged. So it's not just kind of trying to circle the wagons and protect one another.
So yesterday, when I was preparing my article for News 24, which gets published on a Wednesday, I wrote a particular article, and then the news of Jacob Zuma's arrest sentencing became known, and I thought to myself, well, And my article was a fairly cynical one. It still is, because I eventually did publish it. But what happened was, I thought to myself, maybe this isn't the time to do that. Maybe at least for one day only, we should be saying, nah, let's just stop. And as you say, take the victories where we find them and celebrate the fact that this has happened. And that does mean that our constitutional court is robust, our judiciary is robust. It means that our whole legal system, where it might be completely imperfect and flawed, but it somehow is working. And we have seen Mkhize stepping aside. We have seen things like this happening, whereas in the past, we probably wouldn't even have known about these things. It turns out that when I spoke to News 24, they said they've got so many articles on Jacob Zuma, please write something else. So I didn't. But so I did eventually tweak my other article and submit that. But it is interesting that I do think that as South Africans, we should stop and celebrate those moments. And I guess what you're saying is even celebrating this legislation, because although it might feel authoritarian and as a bit of a stretch, it's actually designed to stop bullying and to stop people being incited.
Certainly there is scope to kick back against it if it ever is used for authoritarian purposes, right? Then that's the time to fight it. But on face value, in which this legislation, or in which this regulation, got onto our law books. I think it's fair to say that it was extreme circumstances that resulted in this regulation getting added to the book of, offenses for COVID-19 lockdown. And so, yes, that is what I'm saying is, for now, let's assume good faith, and I'm also waiting to see if it ever gets used in the way it was. It appears to have been intended, and if it does, then that's also a day for celebration. And if the law ends up being abused, then that's the day South Africans can stand up and kick against it, and we're good at that, and so I have no doubt that we will if it ever comes down.
Jan Vermeulen is editor at My Broadband, and Jan, I must just tell you that I'm finding My Broadband's coverage and clarity around lockdown regulations to be the best around. Whenever I'm trying to find clarity on any issues, My Broadband is the place that is really setting it out in ways that certainly I can digest it. So I want to congratulate you for that. It's really, really.
Thank you so much, Howard.
Seeing
I appreciate that. And we do try. I know it's not technology news, but it does affect us all. And so we've taken a decision to write this around the lockdown specifically.
Interesting.
And the science of vaccines and stuff.
Mm. Certainly, I'm using My Broadband as more and more of a source for this type of thing. So well done. I, for one, had noticed that shift.